Pastor Maurizio, I'm from Zion Church of the Firstborn. I'm going to continue on this series on the end times. And I'm going to look at how to apply what the Bible says about the end times to today's situation. See, we saw how to understand prophecy, understand the Bible according to some principles. Now we're going to move on. Okay, and I want to really show that sometimes we can focus on just to one side of the story of what the Bible says without really coming to a full understanding of the whole picture. And I hope that by doing this, we can change the perspective about the end time from a negative one to a positive one. God is a loving, positive God. And this is the way He deals with us in general, with the whole world. We're going to see His attitude and the way He wants to help us in coming into a relationship with Him. I remember in my early experiences after I was born again and spirit-filled, that the Lord gave me a vision, an open vision on the rapture. And at that time, I really didn't understand too much. And I was a bit confused because I heard so many different things about it, different ideas. See, and my response to that was that in general, you know, if I don't understand it, if I get confused, I shouldn't spend too much time on it. I should just keep going until the Lord brings to me a better understanding and revelation. And one night, actually, the Lord gave me this vision, and I saw all these people being lifted up with all different colored outfits. And they were coming from all over the place. And I said, well, what is this? And I remember the Lord said to me that this was the time of the end. And these are the people that are going to come into Him. I still didn't understand very much, but I left it there for a number of years until I started understanding some more about that. Now, you know, the important to understand, okay, when we don't understand something, we cannot understand it by our senses and our knowledge or our logic. You see, our senses are based on the physical world and the reality that we come in contact with in this physical world. We cannot really agree or understand or even perceive spiritual thing properly. See, as a scientist, before I realized the limitation of my logic and my understanding, and so I just choose not to try to figure out things by myself. See, often we, because of our interest, because of our desire to know, you know, we try to figure out things by logic. And we admire logic. We admire people that can, you know, figure out things. The thing is, you know, that even spirit-filled people try to do it that way. They start to, in the spirit, and then they try to figure out things in the flesh. See, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the spirit of the works by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, this is, you know, did you do it according to following rule or following your understanding, following do this and the other things, or just because you open up to the spirit of God that guided you? See, trying to do it that way, it won't work. Why? Because God's plan is not based on logic. You see, God's plan is based on love. And love escapes logic. If you're trying to work out logically, you're not going to get very far. You know, you can see that so clearly in Jesus and his ministry. See, Jesus was rejected by the Jews and by the Jewish leaders. You know, nevertheless, he was sorry and he was lamenting over Jerusalem. For example, in Matthew 23, verse 37, said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gathers her children under her wings. But you were not willing." You see, even when he was put on the cross, I mean, after they were doing everything they have done to him, is their Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. See, there was love in him toward those that even were executing him. And, you know, that shows his attitude and God's attitude toward the people that are in the world. This is the way God works. We have to understand that. And if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're going to have the same type of attitude, the same type of way of doing things or seeing things. See, don't try to get information from many sources, even religious one, about this. Jesus warned them, warned us. You know, in Matthew 24, verse 5 says, "For many will come in my name, you know, will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." See, this is something that the Holy Spirit has to minister to us, not just people, ideas. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, says, "Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." You see, the rulers of this age can be interpreted either the religious leader or the leaders of the time that rejected him. But behind that, there are the spiritual rulers that infect people's mentality and thinking and logic. See, and it's interesting that the word says, "For they, if they knew, they would have not crucified." The word "knew" there, well, if they had known, you know, the word is ginosko again. I always keep repeating this because we have to make the distinction between the English and the Greek to really fully understand. And really, ginosko, an implication, means that we come to know something by experience and by effort. You know, we spiritually discern because we are seeking. See, we know that way another person. You know, and when you know another person, it's not that you see them and you know them. You know them because you interact with them and you have a relationship with them. This is how we come to know him. The same chapter, verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him." See, the logic doesn't make sense. "Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And this is discernment, this seeking to know. So how do we understand it then? Well, the verse 11 before of the same chapter says, "For what man knows the things of man except of this, from the spirit of man, which is in him? So no one knows, not one knows, the things which of God, except the Spirit of God." See, interesting thing that now the word "knowing" in this verse is different. It's not ginosko, it's eido, which actually see. We can see within ourselves to a degree, but we can not see in somebody else. The same thing, God's Spirit knows the things of God because it's his Spirit. And so only his Spirit can reveal to us the things that are about him. To understand God, we have to connect with God. And that means the Holy Spirit when we are born again. And we are in a position to make that connection. See, the following verses, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, this is so important for us to realize in our behavior, the way we think. See, we have not received the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world. That one makes a difference. This is not just repeated in this verse. John 3:3 says very clearly, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, to be able to see, and the see here is the same, Edo, to be able to perceive the things there, you won't be able to do it unless you are born again. When you are born again, you receive this spirit, and it's this spirit inside you that reveals to you the truth about God. Continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? Well, go to the Word. We go to the Word, opens up the Word, and we compare spiritual things there with other spiritual things. We come to understand the things of God from what we see expressed there. We must connect with the source. That's the bottom line. We must seek God. It's not that we can get it by just studying. See, when we don't have a solution, when we are going through a difficult time, when we are coming to a place in which we don't know what to do, the natural thing to do is to seek God. Doesn't matter what background you have, doesn't matter where you're coming from, the natural thing to do is actually to seek the truth to Him. No matter, this we can see today, that the world is a mess, and we can see that people, even from other religion, are looking and try to find out answers and try to seek the truth. To the degree in which they are bound by their ideas, they're not going to be able to find it. But if they seek it with their heart, they are going to find it. Just the same way as was in the fathers of the Old Testament. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Paul, even Paul later on. We can see that God doesn't speak only through the Word. Sometimes speaks to us personally. See, when nothing else is possible, even today, God intervenes supernaturally. Minister to us supernaturally. See, this is why, He talked when the Bible wasn't or even written to Abraham and Enoch and Abraham and Noah and so on, revealing them things that sometimes today's people find very difficult to understand and to receive. The same thing is happening today to many people. We can see testimony after testimony about people, thousands of people coming to the Lord because they were seeking the truth and Jesus appeared to them. They were not a contrast that often were not Christian countries, countries in which Christians were persecuted, that they were preconceived against Christianity. And Jesus revealed to them, because in their heart they were truly seeking God. And He is always there, ready to minister to those that are seeking. You know, there is underground revivals in many countries in which Christianity is persecuted. And many of the people that come to him come to an experience that they have, a personal experience with Jesus Christ. You can see China, Iran, Muslim countries, Buddhist countries, there are revivals taking place. Sometimes they come because somebody spread the gospel there. But other times just happen because suddenly people sought after God. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus' attitude is that he's willing to minister to us. God's attitude is one to reach out to us, no matter what. Hallelujah. But we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We have his word. We have the Bible. We have so much more available to us of information than the people that don't have that possibility. I mean, we sometimes have many Bibles, different translations. And we should ask ourselves, are we really using it in the right way? Are we really taking advantage of the benefit that we have? You know, God speaks to us the way he has spoken to those who wrote the Bible today to us. It's very clearly, it says it so clearly in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It says, you know, so we have the prophetic word confirmed. It's confirmed by the fact that it's there, the fact that, you know, the prophecy that are already fulfilled, in which we do well to heed as his light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this, and that knowing is ginosko, I mean, because we are seeking in that this relationship with him. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. An interpretation there, you can translate explanation or determination, you know, is not something that somebody made up in their mind. It's something that is determined by what God said. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God, actually the Greek there is from God. Only men from God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, this is why I keep repeating and I keep, you know, going on this all the time. God is speaking to us through the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. But you know, many today don't even believe it. And it's so sad because that is cutting off their ability to be able to receive and appreciate what is in there. The Bible itself tells us that in the verses that we just finished. And Jesus demonstrated that in his ministry. He was, everything that he was saying, he was referring to the word, referring to the scriptures. And we do well if we heed to it, if we respond, if we listen. You know, many of the Bible prophecies in the past have been missed by the religious leaders and the leaders of the time. But the one that received it were simple people that had not preconceived the idea about the way it should happen. See, we can see, you know, that happens over and over again. You know, and the New Testament is telling us, is foretelling us many things about the future. But not only that, it's telling us God's intervention and God's way of interacting with us. Now, and then, Jesus, you know, we saw the prophecy about Jesus foretelling about the future. We saw Paul foretelling in a number of places. We have all the book of Revelation. There is enormous amount of information about what is going to happen. But from the what we can understand what's happening now, we can project for the things that are going to happen in the future. If we do not understand what happened now, it's very unlikely that we are going to be able to do that. See, if we are confused about these things, then just ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to help you. You know, it can get confusing if you go around asking everybody or trying to get information from everybody. There are so many different ideas. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace in all the search of the saints. So that's the thing we had to define. See, God's words show something important. That there are events that affect history. And those events change the way we see things and the way we live. And they do not happen by chance, like many people think. There is always an effect. They are the results of what happened at that particular time, that environment, the things, the way men behaved. You see, God care about people, care about us, what we do, how we relate to him. And for that reason, he's established laws to keep order and justice in the world. And one of the major laws that we have is put in place is the law of sowing and reaping. You see, according to what we do, we will sow and reap. What we do, we sow, and what we reap is the result of what we do. And we can see that as a result of what we do, we can be, and in Deuteronomy and other places, you know, we obey God and there are blessings. We disobey the laws of God and there are curses and problems. But there are many promises of God that should motivate us to do things our way. You know, whenever man breaks the law, there is a consequence of that. And we are warned by the law about this. So we should know it ahead of time. This is why we have the law. God doesn't want us to go by law. He wants us to go by his relationship with him. But you know, these things change slowly. I mean, when we start breaking the law, we just keep moving in that direction. And so as a consequence of that, you know, we continue in that direction and until the moment when the situation is really bad. And the consequences are bad. But God, in his love, is patient. Just because somebody made a mistake, he does not do us right away, produces the problem. You know, the law themselves are done in such a way. So he's patient, and so he warns us. He brings us information. He brings us warning. Brings us, you know, try to get our attention so that we stop going in that direction. But when people refuse to listen, it comes to the point when the problems start happening. This is true locally, and it's true globally. You know, for example, in global examples, in the Bible, is the fall of Adam. I mean, at that moment, the existence of Adam changed from that moment on and impacted everybody coming after. It was not just for himself, it was for the whole human race. For example, at the time of Noah, when corruption and evil was so prevalent, God announced that. Nobody listened, but Noah did. And so, according heeding to his direction, he started preparing for the coming flood. Again, You know, we can see this. These are all global events that took place. Babel, when people start to build a tower to reach the high, you know, there was an intervention and God changed the relationship that people could have one with another. On a local example, you know, we can see, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, because the evil that was practiced there, you know, there was a consequence. Again, you know, when people prayed in captivity in Egypt, you know, there was a change taking place. And so, you know, the people were brought out. And after that, you know, the whole thing changed for Israel. You know, wandering in the desert, there are many situations in which the Israel abandoned God or start following other things. And, you know, locally there were problems generated by that. And God was always warning them and used even Moses. All the time that the Jews went off that track following God, they end up going in captivity. So we can see that this is a pattern that is repeated over and over again. No, but we can look at this and look at the courses, but there are other examples that are much more encouraging than those. Many, many examples. You know, people seeking God and receiving breakthrough, deliverance, blessings. For example, you know, when people were seeking God when they were slaves in Egypt, you know, God used Moses to go and deliver them. And when the plague came on Egypt, they were protected on the Passover night. See, this is a situation in which there was something that was touching everybody, every family. But they were protected under the covenant with God, and they were taken care of. And none of them perished. See, that was not the only time that Moses interceded for Israel. He interceded many times. And God always ministered to them, healed them, and resolved the situation. Jesus came to do the same, to heal everyone who went to him, and to save the lost. So you see, there is a desire for God to minister even to those that went off. You know, later on we can see blessing coming when the, you know, the disciple that they ran away when Jesus was crucified and imprisoned and crucified, you know, and they came to pray together. We can see that one of the major events ever happened in human history came to happen. The Holy Spirit came upon them and Pentecost was manifested. You know, they say, well, that was a long time ago. No. Many recent examples of something similar to that are evident in the history. You know, there were many things happening between that and, say, in the last century. And I'm not going to go through all of them. But, for example, you know, when in 1906, Azusa Street came and the Holy Spirit came back again in a different, in a new way, in a powerful way, like it was at the beginning. There was revival there for 10 years or more, which there was manifestation, there was supernatural manifestation of God intervening when people seek him and pray. It didn't stop there. I mean, that continued even up to the day. In the 40s to the 40s to the 70s, there were healing revivals taking place all the time. People were healed, delivered, set free. In the, we can see another wave of the Holy Spirit in the 70s when the Spirit came and penetrated all the different denominations to bring people to the knowledge of his power and his anointing. See, that's when I really joined in. And I came to that experience of being spirit filled. See, God's desire is to use everyone to make himself available, no matter how messed up they are. And we can see on the people they conducted, and they were used by these revivals that I was mentioning before. There were no, everybody was perfect, but God used them to minister to the people. More recently, you know, we have revival taking place in different countries, like Indonesia revival, for example, many other countries. I'm not going to just try to mention them all. But even today, with the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, there are many places in which people are seeking God and they're experiencing the power of God coming down for deliverance and healing. And we had to remember that. We had to expect that. We had to know that so that we can open up ourselves and seek God. This is the time when things start to be difficult that we had to realize that we can change the situation, that God can change the situation, and he can use us to change it. He can use us if we follow his direction. You know, there is the 2 Chronicles 7:14 is repeated all the time. And we should take that scripture seriously. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's pretty clear. That is the truth. Is God speaking to us even today? Instead of looking at what's going on, instead of looking at the news and the events that are taking place, you know, they are not going to help us. The news are controlled by the enemy, and they are going to just put us down. What we have to do is to instead listen to what God says, look at the word, look at him, and do the things it tells us to do in situations like that. We can make a difference. We can change the situation. But we have to do one thing, humbling ourselves to start with. We cannot do it in any other way. There are so many scriptures that we can use. But we have to start coming before God and interceding. If we know him, even a bit, if we know his heart and his desire to heal and save the people, this is what it should be in our heart and in our desire. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore I exhort first of all. So the first thing that he's exhorting about is this, that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is what includes all men, first of all. It doesn't say, first of all, you pray for yourself. All right? The verse says, for kings and all who are in authority, first of all, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. You see, if Christians pray, if Christians seek God, if Christians humble themselves, if Christians, you know, turn around from their ways, God is going to hear and change the situation. God is going to work not by fleshy means, but by supernatural means. God is waiting for his people to pray, to intercede, to give thanks in advance for God's power and God's promises that He made available to us. Things can be changed by prayer, not by looking at the news. See, things can be changed by looking at the Word, not by watching your TV. Following verses, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And why is it? Who desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, here the knowledge is again part of knowing, you know, say, epignosis. You know, we come from gnosis, the way I said before, which means to recognize, to be fully acquainted with the truth. Not in a superficial way, but to be fully acquainted with the truth because we are sought after it. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible concerning the last day says something very clearly. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, we can be there, complain, feeling sorry for ourselves, or criticizing them, or we can start doing something according to what the Word of God says. See, the key is not going according to the way we feel, not according to what we see, it's according to the instruction that God gives us. Okay? And the instruction is clear. To humble ourselves, pray and seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, and He will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal the land. See, we can see this happening over and over in the Bible. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 32 says, then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there righteous. And he said, I will not destroy if forsake for the sake of them. See, he was interceding for them, trying to make him not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, he was trying to start it from 50 and then fewer and fewer until it got to 10. And God, even for 10, I will not destroy it. See, God's attitude is that if there are some people that follow His way, He will benefit for what they are doing, even the other one around them. God's attitude is that. And even in the Old Testament, we can see that. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, says, I thought of a man among them that would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured all my indignation on them. And I consume them and so on and so forth. You see, he's looking for people that are standing in the gap so that he can bless by blessing them and the other one are blessed too. See, this is really so true. We can see it in the Old Testament many times, but we can see it on the New Testament even more clearly. Jesus came to explain to us this. See, the good news is not the afterthought that God had, but is the initial solution. He always wanted to do that. Jesus' word is clear. In John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved." So his desire is to save everybody. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, God wants all men to come at the knowledge of the truth. See, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nation, and then the end come." This is to a degree happened and has to happen even more. God wants everybody to be able to hear the truth. God wants everybody to be reached. See, the Great Commission is something that we have to understand. Understand not just logically as a commandment that God put on us, but as something that comes from our heart. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." See, we lose heart if we look at the wrong thing and if we think the wrong way. But when we understand the ministry that's been given to us, we shall not lose heart. For we have ne renounced the hidden things of shame, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, this is the important thing. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It means, you know, what we are doing is what God wants us to do. But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, this is why. Why they're blinded? Well, they're blinded because they're believing in the lies. They're believing in the wrong thing. We should be the witness for the truth. Therefore, you know, in chapter 5, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, "If any of us is in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given us" what? "The ministry of reconciliation." See, that's the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of condemnation for the world. That does not mean that we approve the things or condemn the things or sin that they do. But it explains now what that means. That is, that God was in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Do you realize what he's telling us? The God in Christ has reconciled the world to himself. Doesn't say believers, says the world. And not imputing them their trespasses to them. That means not taking account of their trespasses. You know, we find too difficult to accept and to believe that. We even find it difficult for ourselves when we make mistakes. The thing is, you know, God is not ready to punish them for something that was already done on Jesus. Jesus took all our sicknesses, all our pain, all our diseases, all our sins, everything, all our iniquity on himself, that we may be free. All those things have been paid for. And our job is to tell people that God has done it for them, that he is not imputing to them their trespasses, but they had to receive it. And that is what makes all the difference. If they receive it and they believe it, they're going to experience it. And the benefits is going to come with that. You see, we have difficulty, even believers have difficulty to really accept that. And this is why sometimes it's difficult for believers to receive from God what God has already done. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. By Jesus' stripes, we were forgiven. See, sometimes we go around feeling guilt for things because that we have done, not realizing that Jesus' blood washes us from all sins, that we are free from the past. Our job is to know that to start with, because otherwise we cannot tell anybody. Otherwise, we are not going to be having a ministry of reconciliation, but we are going to be a ministry of condemnation because we start condemning even ourselves. See, when we start seeing this, then the Great Commission becomes not a command for us to follow, but it's an act of love. Love that is put in our heart by the Holy Spirit for people that need freedom. They need to understand that Jesus paid for their sins. But they had to receive that, to believe that, to accept that, so that they may experience that. Religion cannot do that. The Spirit of God can. The Spirit of God can set us free. The Spirit of God can help us. The Spirit of God can help us to break through. And sometimes when we're in difficult time, you see, we start seeking God because we know that's the only solution. And when we meet him, we have to accept his solution in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we should pray. I think we should pray that we get the understanding, that we get revelation, spiritual revelation, about what wonderful God, loving God that we have. He has done everything for us who deserves nothing. And he is the one that changes us from people that are dead in trespasses to people that have the righteousness of God in them, the righteousness of Jesus in our life. All things have become new. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done. Lord, we received it. We keep receiving it. We keep growing on that reality, Lord. Thank you for not imputing our trespasses to us. Thank you for giving us the understanding that you do not impute their trespasses to them, so that we may have compassion and we may share the truth that you have given us. We just praise you and thank you that Jesus took all our iniquities on himself and all the consequences of the iniquities, Lord. And today, we can say that, Lord, all our iniquities are taken away. That today we can say that by stripes we were healed. That today we can say that we are accepted of God in the Beloved. Then today we can say that God has redeemed us from the curse of the law and has put us in the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. And we just praise and thank you for that. We just thank you, Lord, for the goodness and the love that you have for us, which do not deserve it. But Lord, because of what you have done, we can have fellowship with you and come with you to you boldly in time of need. Thank you, Lord, for your word that shows us that. Lord, help us not to get religious, not to get condemning, not to get judging. Lord, you didn't come to judge the world or to condemn the world. You came to save it. Lord, let us do the same for the world around us. Let us intercede and pray for this world that is needs so much you. And we just thank you for everything you have done for us and praise you today, for you are worthy of our praises. You are worthy to be magnified, that we may just give ourselves to you, Lord, to be used to reach the world around us who needs you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.